Good morning. Pastor Sean had a baptism at St. Paul's, so he will fill in when he gets here. Would you please rise? O Lord, our Lord. What are mere mortals that you should be mindful of us?
Human beings that you should care for us.
You have made us less than divine.
You have made us to rule over the works of your hands.
It is good for us to be here. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Almighty God, to whom all our hearts are open and all desires known, and from whom no secrets are hid. Cleanse the thoughts of our hearts and minds by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord.
Amen.
Let us confess our sins in the presence of God and one another. Most merciful God, we confess that we are
we have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us. Forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways.
God, who is rich in mercy, loved us even when we were dead in sin, made us alive together with Christ. By grace, you have been saved in the name of Jesus Christ. Your sins are forgiven. Almighty God, strengthen you with power through the Holy Spirit, that Christ may be live in your hearts through faith. Amen.
Thank you.
grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Let us pray. Sovereign God, you have created us to live in a loving community with one another. Form us for lives in faith, faithfulness, steadfast, and teach us to trust our little children, that we may reflect the image of your Son, Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. Please be seated for the readings.
The first reading is from Genesis, the second chapter. Then the Lord God said, "It is not good that the man should be alone. I will make him a helper as his partner." So out of the ground, the Lord God formed every animal of the field and every bird of the air and brought them to the man to see what he would call them. And whatever the man called every living creature, that was its name. The man gave names to all cattle, to the birds of the air, and to every animal of the field. But for the man, there was not found a helper as his partner. So the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon the man. And as he slept, then he took one of his ribs and closed up its place with flesh. And that rib that the Lord God had taken from the man, he made into a woman and brought her to the man. Then the man said, "This, at last, is bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. This one shall be called woman, for out of man this one was taken." Therefore, a man leaves his father and his mother and clings to his wife, and they become one flesh. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Please read Psalm 8 responsively with me. O Lord, our Sovereign, how majestic is your name in all the earth. You have set your glory above the heavens.
Out of the mouths of babes and infants, you have founded a Lord because of your foes. Silence the enemy and the avenger.
When I look at your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon, the stars that you have established.
What are
Yet you have made them a little lower than God and crowned them with the glory and honor. All sheep and oxen, and also the beasts of the field.
The birds of the air, and the fish of the sea, whatever passes along the paths of the sea.
O Lord, our sovereign, how majestic is your name in all of the earth. The second reading is from Hebrews, the first and second chapters. Chapter 1. Long ago, God spoke to our ancestors in many and various ways by the prophets. But in these last days, he has spoken to us by a Son, whom he appointed heir of all things, through whom he created the worlds. He is the reflection of God's glory and the exact imprint of God's very being, and he sustains all things by his powerful word. When he had made purification for sins, he sat down at the right hand of the Majesty on high, having become as much superior to angels as the name he has inherited is more excellent than theirs. Chapter 2. Now God did not subject the coming world, about which we are speaking, to angels, but someone has testified somewhere, "What are human beings that you are mindful of them, or mortals that you care for them? You have made them, for a little while, lower than the angels. You have crowned them with glory and honor, subjecting all things under their feet." Now, in subjecting all things to God, or to them, God left nothing outside their control. As it is, we do not yet see everything in subjection to them, but we do see Jesus, who, for a little while, was made lower than the angels, now crowned with glory and honor because of the suffering of death, so that by the grace of God he might taste death for everyone. It was fitting that God, for whom and through whom all things exist, in bringing many children to glory, should make the pioneer of their salvation perfect through sufferings. For the one who sanctifies and those who are sanctified all have one Father. For this reason, Jesus is not ashamed to call them brothers and sisters, saying, "I will proclaim your name to my brothers and sisters. In the midst of the congregation, I will praise you." The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
About impeccable timing. I will be reading with you today. The Holy Gospel according to St. Mark, the 10th chapter.
Glory to you, O Christ.
Some Pharisees came and to test Jesus, they asked, "Is it lawful for a man to divorce his wife?" He answered them, "What did Moses command you?" They said, "Moses allowed a man to write a certificate of dismissal and to divorce her." But Jesus said to them, "Because of your hardness of heart, he wrote this commandment for you. But from the beginning of creation, God made them male and female. For this reason, a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. So they are no longer two, but one flesh. Therefore, what God has joined together, let no one separate." Then in the house, later on, the disciples asked Jesus again about this matter. He said to them, "Whoever divorces his wife and marries another commits adultery against her. And if she divorces her husband and marries another, she commits adultery." People were bringing little children to Jesus in order that he might touch them, and the disciples spoke sternly to them. But when Jesus saw this, he was indignant and said to them, "Let the little children come to me. Do not stop them, for it is to such as these that the kingdom of God belongs. Truly I tell you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God as a little child will never enter." And he took them up in his arms, laid his hands on them, and blessed them. This is the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. You may be seated. What a wonderful, wonderful gospel text to get to preach on today. This is every pastor's dream. I already have 3 years from now on this Sunday marked off, and I am taking vacation. Either that or I'll just preach the same sermon again. Y'all won't remember it anyway. Thank you, Dennis, for filling in. We had a wonderful baptism at St. Paul today. Was my reason for being late. But now I'm here, aren't you lucky? So, the key takeaway from today's sermon, are you all ready for it? You're ready, right? The Bible can and should be used as a weapon. What, like throwing it at them? I don't know. We should weaponize scripture, shouldn't we? We should beat people with it and make them feel bad about themselves because of it. No? What about you, Liz? What do you think? No? Okay. All right. Well, then why do we do it? It's curiosity of mine. So here's my only rule for using the Bible to maim and to injure. Before doing anything, just make sure you select the form of weapon that you want the scripture to take. I mean, how are we really supposed to hurt people with scripture unless we know how to effectively use it? We see a few different weapons in the scriptures from today. Good old-fashioned, here's one of them. Here's a good weapon from scripture. Less thanism. Woman, as we heard, is made to be man's helper. It should follow then that women are just a little less.
Oh, sure.
I like your answer. But that doesn't keep us from doing it for decades and centuries. We've used scripture to subordinate women to men, make them mere helpers. I'm sure that's never been used to harm and to subjugate, right? Here's another great scriptural weapon. Jesus said so-ism, as in Jesus said no divorce, right? So we say that under no circumstances, never, ever, ever should divorce ever be allowed. And if you do this, all of us perfect people over here who have never been party to any broken relationship, well, we get to shame you and judge you. Why? Because Jesus said so, of course. So whenever we read scripture like this aloud, scripture that has been, that still is, used to subordinate, ostracize, trap, punish, shame, judge, and otherwise harm, we must name it. The good book, as it is sometimes called. Well, when we misinterpret scripture, when we refuse to take into account the context in which this scripture was written, well, it has bad news for us. It delivers bad news. We bend it to our will, not God's will. It subjugates instead of liberates. It shackles instead of sets free. If these passages of scripture, the one from Genesis chapter 2, and well, just pick any scripture where Jesus talks about divorce. If these words have been used by another human being against you to make you feel shamed, to make you feel less than, I'm sorry. if Scripture more generally has been used to demean and to shame you again, I'm sorry. Now, I'm not suggesting that we just throw out all the hard stuff from Scripture because there'd be pretty much nothing left. I'm not suggesting that we cast out all the law and just keep the stuff that makes us feel good, because that's entirely absurd. But if the message that we preach from the good book does not set captives free and proclaim the good news of Jesus Christ crucified and risen, then frankly, there's nothing good about it. But there is good news here, and if there wasn't good news here, I wouldn't be standing here today to preach this good news to you. There is good news here. It's below that surface level stuff that we have used for centuries to clobber and pummel and attack. This good news is here. We just have to mine it out. We have to unpack it. It all starts today with a test of Jesus. Is it lawful for a man to divorce his wife? And this is a pretty straightforward test. Jesus has the answer key. It's handed right there to him. The law of Moses. But in typical Jesus fashion, he answers their question with a question, because he is not interested in what is lawful. What did Moses say? He knew that the Pharisees would give the quote-unquote right answer here, didn't he? Moses allowed. Note the word allowed. Moses allowed a man to write a certificate of divorce and divorce her. Notice she didn't have a choice, but, you know, that's neither here nor there. Jesus immediately uses their answer to turn the conversation on its head from what is allowed. To that which, by the way, what is allowed is divorce, right? Which is separation and brokenness, which is taking a woman's status, which is already diminished in this society, and then divorcing her, casting her to the side, and making her lower than low, broken, and not worth anyone spending any time thinking about her. That's allowed, but Jesus says that's not what I'm all about. Jesus says what God instead, he goes back before the laws were written. He goes back to the laws of creation, and he says what God desires for us is companionship, partnership, relationship, and it is a gift. Jesus isn't today piling legalism onto legalism. He is instead pointing to what God intended as good for us, as a gift to us. I have one beef with Jesus today. He says that being alone is not good. I have my own opinions on this. Sometimes being alone is awesome. I'm just saying, like, you know, Mondays, y'all are at school. Just never mind. I'm gone. Being alone sometimes is needed. But we'll go with what Jesus says here. The Lord God said, it is not good that man should be alone. He's quoting from Genesis. Why? Why is this? Because we are meant for relationship. Relationship is good. The problem with relationships, however, is us, right? We are the problem with relationships. Humans, we are sinful creatures. We tend to make, well, a pretty big mess of relationships. And the hardest of relationships, I'm not even going to look at her when I say this, is probably marriage. She wouldn't agree. It's pretty great for her. Right, Andrea? Anyway. I don't want to know the look. The hardest of relationships is perhaps marriage. This whole one flesh thing means that you have to die to yourself. That's kind of a hard thing, right? And while marriage is held as an example of dying to self, I don't think that marriage stands alone as this kind of relationship, does it? You don't have to be married to someone to have experienced a dying to self kind of a relationship. I think that this can be any relationship where you give of yourself very deeply to another person. But marriage is set up there as the example. And while these relationships and marriages can be deeply rewarding, are deeply rewarding, while these relationships can be deeply rewarding, they are fraught with all kinds of danger. Why? Because again, us, right? Because of sinful human beings, when we open ourselves to another person, when we expose ourselves to another person, when we let that other person in to ourselves, that is about the most vulnerable thing we could possibly do. And when that other person lets us down a lot, repeatedly, it hurts. It's going to hurt a lot. And so much pain sometimes and hurt that we might ask, would I be better off alone? Would I be better off without this relationship? Your answer is, of course, no, right? But some people, if I were her, the answer would be yes. Anyway, sadly, sometimes that answer is most certainly yes. That may not mean we're left to be completely alone, but it may mean that we're no longer in that marriage or that relationship. And some of you may be wondering, how does this not directly contradict what Jesus says and contradict what we hear in Genesis? So, it's called nuance. A pastor I was talking to told me this week, here's the thing with nuance. There is no English word for nuance. When we say nuance, it's actually the French word. Why is that? Because Americans are terrible with nuance, right? So we're going to enter into some nuance right now. So hold on. If marriage, if relationships more generally are a gift from God to us, what are we to do when the relationship stops becoming a gift? When the relationship becomes abusive? When we are beaten and battered and bruised physically, mentally, spiritually, and emotionally. When we have taken all of the steps that we can possibly take, all of those reasonable steps, but the other person, they have stayed planted firm. Nothing's wrong with our relationship, right? Are we to persist at that point? Are we to persist at that point in that relationship, in that cycle of abuse? Are we to persist in unhealthy and perhaps dangerous environments? Are we to continue in brokenness when what God intends for us instead, desires for us instead, is oneness and wholeness? Marriages and relationships and partnerships and friendships, these are most certainly gifts from God to us. But when we've taken all the reasonable steps, and despite our best efforts to reconcile and restore them, and the relationship just continues to suck the life out of our very being, the gift can no longer at that point be considered a gift. Life at that point must be restored, even if that means divorce, especially if that means divorce, even if that means ending the relationship. Because God, Jesus, desires for us, for humanity, that which is always life-giving. Jesus says, I know what's lawful, but he doesn't cling to it. He goes beyond this clunky legalism to free us from it. He points us to God's intention for us, to that which is a gift, to that which is life, relationship. Now, in a perfect creation, without sinful beings, anyone here a sinful being? I should see lots of hands. So if we are sinful beings, then we obviously do not yet live in a perfect creation. But if creation was perfect, if we were not sinful, then relationships, marriages, they are, always are, and they always will be, without fail, life-giving. But that's not how it is, is it? I know that Jesus Christ, through his life, death, and resurrection, inaugurated in this new and present age, where God is absolutely loose in this world, and creation is currently being restored, but we are unfortunately not there yet. We are still a broken and a sinful people. We are a people who still break relationships. But we are not a broken and a sinful people that has no hope. In what seems like an add-on to the so-called divorce narrative, there are some cute little adorable kids. You know, cute little adorable kids, right? They come up, people are bringing them, and the disciples are like, what are the kids doing there? Jesus is trying... He's trying to teach a sermon. You can't bring the kids up in the middle of a sermon. You can't have, you know, just thrust those kids upon him when he's trying to preach and teach. And Jesus says, go away. Says to his, not to the kids, says to his disciples, knock it off. He's incensed. If this gives you any idea how these kids are looked at in this society, his disciples want these kids to not even be able to be near Jesus. But Jesus rebukes these disciples who never learn. He says, stop casting out the outcasts, the lowly, the ones down here, because the kingdom of God, it belongs to them. When will you get this? And at this point, I think it's fair to reframe, to stop casting out those at the bottom of this social ladder that we've created, those with no social standing, kind of like the divorced woman from, you know, back in Jesus' day, or maybe even the divorced woman still today. Jesus says, allow them to come to me. They need me more than all of you folks who are way up here, because theirs is the kingdom. For a long time, divorce in Christian circles especially came with a stigma, right? I know many of you have felt that stigma with whispers and with broken relationships that have extended beyond divorces. In some denominations, still, a divorced person cannot come to the table. They are prevented from coming to this table. And it is absurd and ridiculous, and it needs to stop. They are prevented from being in full relationship with Jesus Christ and the Christian community and the community of saints far beyond themselves, and it needs to stop. Well, I think the social situation has changed in recent decades. Pious types traditionally have kicked divorcees off to the side to a separate pew, the pews that say no communion, down the social ladder. And some of us may still do it. And we roughly place them at the level of the children that are being brought forward while someone's trying to preach a sermon. Hands off my Jesus, we say. This table is not for you. But when we do this, Jesus is indignant, just as he was to his disciples. He says, this kingdom isn't for the high and mighty. When will you understand this? It is for the weak and the lowly and the downtrodden, for those at the bottom of the ladder, for those who you say are unimportant, for the divorced, for those who have known and lost relationships, those who have experienced brokenness. Unless you receive the kingdom of God all the way down here with all of these people, then this kingdom is not for you. And then beyond just allowing all of these children to come forward, to be in his presence, to just touch him, Jesus says something far beyond this. He blesses these children. He blesses the lonely. And he says, the new kingdom that I am bringing about, well, it is exactly for you. It is not good for us to be alone. We were not created for aloneness. And when marriages sadly end, when relationships end, many times for very good reasons, the call is not to cast judgment and to whisper. The call is not to respond to your neighbor, to your friend, to your loved one with a hard, judgment-filled heart. The call is not to clobber someone with scripture, to turn it into a weapon. It is not to accuse with the law, because guess what? That law that they are living with, that divorce they are living with, that broken relationship that they are living with, it has already crushed them. The call is to be a blessing. The call is to offer and give life. The call is to offer and be the gift of relationship to a child of God when they so desperately need it. Theologian Kate Buller names the tragedy of breakups and divorces and heartbreaks, and I'll add lost friendships and broken relationships. Lost spouses. Lost family members. And she reflects on our need for God as we sit shattered and alone, a shell of our former selves. Here's what she has to say about it. She says, we need God to meet us here in this strange, embarrassing, awful place. We need God, as the psalmist says, to bind up our wounds, to heal and strengthen us and walk with us as we begin this reinvention. We need God to make something out of the bits and the pieces of what is left and surprise us by something, anything, and everything new. We can pummel and clobber. We can weaponize scripture against the already broken soul. Or we can do something entirely different. We can stand in the abyss. We can stand in the void. We can sit in the pit of despair. We can take the form of Jesus Christ and meet the broken exactly where they are. Exactly where they need us to be. My dear siblings in Christ, as Kate Buller says, we need God. We desperately need God. We need healing. We need new life. We need a kingdom that has been prepared for us, all of the lost and broken, all of the wounded, all of the damaged. In and through Jesus Christ, this kingdom has been brought into being, and it is for God's children, for all of God's children, for these young ones over here, for all you old ones over here. It's for all of God's children. It is for the divorced. It is for the widowed. It is for the married and madly in love. It is for the married and don't really want to be married or struggling through a marriage. It is for the single but don't really want to be single. It is for the single and definitely don't want to be married. It is for those who have lost spouses and deeply miss them and grieve. It is for those who have destroyed relationships. It is for those who have been left to pick up after the destruction. It is for those who are not yet ready for reconciliation, and it is for those who yearn to be reconciled and restored. If you have ever been lost and broken, and I have a feeling that includes pretty much everyone in here. If you have ever been lost and broken, ever said, Jesus, come quickly and save me from this mess that I am in. If you ever felt completely and utterly alone, well, good news, this kingdom, it is for you. This is not a kingdom of endless legalism that crushes us. It is a life-giving kingdom. It is a blessing. It is a gift. This kingdom is for me. It is for you. This kingdom is for all of us. It's for all of us. That is most certainly good news. And I'm glad we found it today. And for that I say, thanks be to God. Amen.
I ask you to join me in professing what we believe using the words of the Apostles' Creed.
Challenged by God's word in Christ, let us pray for the church, the world, and the whole creation.
Creator of every creature on earth, direct our lives towards the renewal and sustaining of which you have created. Remind us that ruling the work of your hands is a command of stewardship, not exploitation. Reveal the ways that we can work alongside creation for the health and well-being of all. Today, we especially lift those experiencing devastation from Hurricane Helene, including Florida, North Carolina. Guide and protect emergency and relief workers that water, food, and other forms of aid may reach those in need. We ask that you provide comfort and peace to the families and friends of all who have lost lives, that have lost all those who have lost their homes and their livelihood be restored. God of grace,
hear our prayer. Sovereign God, we give thanks that you are mindful and benevolent to even us, mere mortals. Accompany us when hardness of heart gets in the way of justice between people and nations. As wars and conflicts continue to rage across the Middle East and in Russia and in Ukraine, we pray that you protect civilians from harm on all sides of these conflicts. Endow leaders with minds for justice and hearts for compassion, that they may guide their nations and peoples to a lasting peace. God of grace,
hear our prayer.
Unifying God, humans are creatures of relationship with the earth, its creatures, and one another. Forgive us when divisions threaten companionship, mutual support, and unity among us. Comfort all who have suffered broken and strained relationships, especially in estrangements and divorce, where communal relationships have been broken, especially the former Crawford County Lutheran Partnership. Foster a spirit of openness and forgiveness. Renew, restore, and reconcile all broken relationships. O God, that your love may inspire us to build supportive communities of faith where all are cherished. God of grace,
hear our prayer. Restoring Lord, grant healing and wholeness to all who are sick and suffering, especially Chuck, Haley, Troy, and his family, Wylea, Paige, Robin, Phil, Carl, Sandy, Scott, Jean, Stephanie, and Nathan, Tina, Kathy, Barb, Jane, Dwayne, Ken, Robert, Tony, Ed, Peggy, Bobby, Nancy, Jim, Karen, Bill, Linda, Wilma, for Peggy, for Carol, for Jack, for Cheryl, and for all that we lift either aloud or in the silence of our hearts. Work through medical professionals to diagnose, to ease pain, and give life to all who seek their wisdom and experience. God of grace,
hear our prayer. God of resurrection, you prepare a place in the kingdom through Christ's death and resurrection. We give thanks for all saints who have taken their place at your heavenly banquet, especially those who have gone before us in faith at First Lutheran, and those whose name we either aloud or in silent prayer. God of grace,
good and gracious God, protect all who are in any danger. We especially lift to you today those who are in the path of the newly formed Hurricane Milton. Please protect them and guard them from what is to come. God of grace,
hear our prayer.
Into your hands, O God, we commend all for whom we pray, trusting in the saving grace that you freely give, both now and forever. Amen. The peace of Christ be with you always.
And also with you.
Please share a sign of God's peace with one another. And our offerings.
Thank you.
us pray. Blessed are you, O God, source of every gift of our creation. By these gifts and with our lives, help us to serve one another and all in need. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is indeed right, our duty and our joy, that we should at all times and in all places give thanks and praise to you, Almighty and merciful God, through our Savior Jesus Christ, who on this day overcame death and the grave, and by his glorious resurrection opened to us the way of everlasting life. And so with all the choirs of angels, with the church on earth and the hosts of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. The night in which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." And again, 1 minute. Someone forgot to do his job. And again, after supper, he took the cup, gave thanks. He took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it for all to drink, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sin. Do this for the remembrance of me." Lord, you gather us into one by your Holy Spirit. And you have taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. This is a place where our Lord Jesus Christ has invited all of us to bring us together as one people. It is where Jesus mends us the broken. And it is where we come to be sustained and fulfilled. So all of you, come forward. Be renewed.
This is the body of Christ broken for you.
Strengthen you and keep you in his grace.
Amen.
Amen.
Let us pray. Holy God, you have welcomed us to this table and fed us with dignity at this table. Send us now to welcome others and to be at peace with one another through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
Amen. I don't have anything in front of me. Are there any important announcements today? We're still collecting candy. We have First Supper on Wednesday, so please come and join us and eat and be in fellowship. We have council meetings and committee meetings on Thursday of this week at 5:30. One second. I'll get to it. I'll get to it. Okay, thank you, Lydia. I love you. So council and committee meetings on Wednesday at 5:30. It's a blast. Come be a part of these committees. It's wonderful. It's great. The committee part is great. It's the council part afterwards. Take or leave it. What did I say, Wednesday? I don't know. Show up Wednesday and Thursday. It's fine. Yeah, that part's on Thursday, but First Supper is on Wednesday. There's going to be a picture that comes out on Facebook tomorrow about what they're going to make for us. It is mind-blowing how good this meal is going to be on Monday or on Wednesday at First Supper. Anyway, it was Wednesday, First Supper on Wednesday. It was an AI-generated image, by the way. It's wonderful. Anyway, Spooktacular, we're still collecting M&Ms and other candies. It looks like we're doing pretty good. So please continue to donate to that if you're able to. You want to say something about this? Okay.
Yeah, so we are doing Samaritan's Purse, the Operation Christmas Child. I don't know if we've
So there's boxes over there on the other side of that door leaning against. You have to kind of fold them up and whatnot. So that's one opportunity to help out with families in need this Christmas. We will also be doing what we normally do with adopting a family locally. So we will be doing both. So please prayerfully consider both of these. I saw your hand, Ron. So Huntsman Trucking, and where are they located? On County Line Road. Some of you probably know that better than I do. But they're collecting canned goods, water, food, whatnot, probably non-perishables, to go down, I'm guessing, to hurricane relief victim, or it's for hurricane relief. So that is another way you can help support hurricane relief. And another is my last announcement, I promise, which is, what is it called? It's our noisy offering, and it goes to Lutheran Disaster Response, specifically to hurricane relief. And 100%, that's why we support ELCA Charities, 100% of your offering or donation will go to hurricane relief. It's at least today, and with the other hurricane coming, we may just extend that. So anyway, please consider that. Let's play some music, collect some money, and... Oh, you need blessed too? Oh my gosh. It's been all day that I've been forgetting these things. Please stand in body or in spirit for a blessing. I do need a prompter, you're right. Yeah, that's right. And my mind went completely blank. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord's face shine upon you with grace and mercy. May the Lord look upon you with favor. There's the other one. And give you peace. Almighty God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, be with you now and forever.
Amen.
Amen.